Section 1. Myth from History. It's quite common for historical persons to become surrounded by a vast quantity of myth and legend, and very rapidly, too, especially when they become the object of religious veneration. Thus, the fact that this happened never in itself argues that the person in question didn't exist. One relatively recent example is the elevation of the Ethiopian emperor Haile Selassie to the status of a god, by people he never asked this favor from and even repeatedly begged to stop. His deification and continued worship to this day is the foundation of the modern Rastafarian faith, which claims hundreds of thousands of adherents worldwide. It's telling that we know he professed to his death his own Christian faith and his continual despair at the fact that he had been elevated into a revered divinity so quickly, despite his protests. And one would think if your own god protested you're worshiping him, you'd listen, and yet here we are. Myths and legends about him quickly grew, even within his own lifetime, and all the more rapidly in the two decades after his death in 1975. And yet none had any basis in fact, at all. Yet still they remain the central affirmations of a living faith. The parallel with Jesus ought to be cautionary. If this could happen to Selassie, it could even more easily have happened to Jesus, there being no universal education or literacy or even media per se in the ancient world. Perhaps Jesus himself continually begged his followers not to worship him, yet they did anyway. We wouldn't know because, unlike Selassie, the only records we have of Jesus are written by his devoted worshippers. So perhaps everything told about Jesus is just as made up as everything now told about Selassie. Yet it's told anyway. And not just told, but believed completely by every adherent of the faith, even in the face of overwhelming evidence to the contrary. But not merely cautionary, but the factual parallels are numerous too. Edmund Standing summarizes this point elegantly. Looking at the status of Haile Selassie and the Rastafari religion, we find the following. 1. The coming to earth of a messianic figure who was prophesied in the Old Testament. 2. A birth accompanied by miracles. 3. A child with immense divinely given wisdom who possessed miraculous powers. 4. A Messiah whose actions were prefigured in Old Testament writings. 5. A man who could perform miracles and in whose presence miracles occurred. 6. A man who was worshipped and held to be divine by thousands who had not even met him. 7. A man who was the incarnation of God and who continues to live on despite evidence of his death. 8. A man who is prayed to and communicated with by his followers. And 9. A savior who will one day return to gather up a chosen people who will live under his rule in a kingdom of God. Despite the facts related to the actual historical figure of Selassie, as we see, Rastafarians have built an extensive religious mythology around him, and even did so within his lifetime. Quote, imagine if, at some point in the future, the vast bulk of the historical record was lost, and that the only records of Selassie's existence that had survived were the devotional accounts of Rastafarians. Then the only story historians would have to work with would be made up of layers of mythology, the story of Selassie, a man who arose in a time in which Ethiopians were excitedly awaiting the coming of a Messiah, would be filled with references to the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies, stories of miracles, tales of God walking the earth, and the denial of the reality of the Messiah's death. They would read that Selassie is still alive and that part of the proof of this is that followers can communicate in spirit with him. As a result of this, surely there would be some who would adopt a mythicist position with regard to the historical Selassie, end quote. And yet, of course, if they did, they would be wrong. Because there really was a Selassie. He just wasn't anything even remotely like the narratives his worshippers wrote and told about him. In the scenario Standing imagines, the truth about the historical Selassie would have been completely lost. Fragments of the truth would remain in the surviving devotional texts of his worshippers, but without any independent sources to check them against, we would have no way to know which details were historical and which mythical. We are hardly in any better position with respect to Jesus, for whom all direct sources, if ever there were any, have been completely lost, and all we have are the devotional claims and tales of his fanatical worshippers. This means reconstructing the historical Jesus may simply be impossible. As I demonstrated in Chapter 5 of Proving History, all attempts to do this so far have failed to maintain any logical validity, and as I also show in Chapter 1 there, Every scholar who has seriously examined the methodologies involved agrees with me on that. But that in no way means there was no historical Jesus. There are significant differences, however, that break down Standing's analogy. First are the letters of Paul, which actually precede the Gospels by decades and are the nearest evidence we have to the original Jesus, if such there was. Yet these letters only know a cosmic man and contain no real history of him at all, as I will demonstrate in chapter 11. Second are the methods of the Gospels' construction, which are so thoroughly mythosymbolic that their composition actually argues against their containing any true historical data at all, a point I will examine in chapter 10. And finally, Standing's assumption that we can expect independent records to have vanished in the case of Jesus is actually not quite as likely as he thinks. If Jesus was as famous as Selassie, it would be strange to hear nothing about him, almost as strange as it would be in Selassie's case now, as I'll explain in chapter 8. To avoid this oddity, we must conclude that the real Jesus was a virtual nobody. But there are still problems with the evidence that suggest he wasn't even that, as I'll explain in chapters 8, 9, and 10. Nevertheless, Standing's methodological proposals are sound. Only if the differences I allege are actually there will the comparison fail. Otherwise, it's perfectly possible that a real Jesus underlies all the extant myths about him. Just as is the case for Haile Selassie, it's happened before in Christian tradition, both to real and to fictional persons, as I suspect any survey of the plethora of saints worshipped in late antiquity and the Middle Ages would discover. So which was it for Jesus?